Isaiah 45, or sorry, Genesis 45, the verse we'd like to consider this morning is verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. The Holy Spirit has recorded on the pages of Holy Writ certain events which, if we meditated upon them, we would surely be moved to tears. More often than not, these very moving scenes from Scripture are taken from family life. They are very personal and very private. And yet we, through the inspired Word, are permitted to enter the dwellings where these events took place. We are but silent observers. We dare not intrude. Yet we cannot distance ourselves from the feelings of those who were involved. One such moving scene may be taken from the life of David. It happened as Israel's king waited patiently for news of the battle. His armies had not been engaged in a fight with the Philistines, the Syrians, or the Amalekites. No. His enemy was led that day by one that David knew so very well. For the armies of the enemy were led by his own son, Absalom. For Absalom had rebelled against the father who loved him and was prepared to fight him in order that he might claim the throne in Israel. The matter had to be settled. And it was going to be settled on the field of battle. A battle in which David knew victory for him would mean defeat for the son that he loved. So as David waited for news, his mind was not so much upon Israel's victory as upon his son's defeat. And as the messenger eventually comes to tell him of the news of the battle, the only question that was upon the lips of David is, the young man Absalom safe? The first messenger had no news to give him, no news for an anxious father regarding the fate of his son. But then presently another messenger arrives, and he comes to David with the news, the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. The messenger was informing David that Israel had won the day. The enemy had been defeated and driven back. But there were no signs of jubilation from the king of Israel. Once again, he asked the same question. Is the young man Absalom safe? But that messenger had the task of telling the king the news that he didn't want to hear. That the young man, Absalom, was dead. And as we observe what happened next, there's not a parent whose heart would not go out to David. For we are permitted to see how the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And we are permitted to walk with David. And we are permitted to watch him as he makes his way to his chamber. And we're permitted to see him cry as only a broken-hearted father can cry. We almost feel we are intruding upon that very private and painful scene. And we can feel some of the pain as David sobs and we hear him cry, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son." What a moving scene this is. And we are allowed to be present because the Holy Spirit has given us a record of what took place. And dear child of God, the Holy Scriptures are full of such events like this one. Events which touch our hearts as we read them. Stir within us a feeling of sympathy for those who were affected most. We cannot help be moved as we stand beside Job as he casts his eyes over the graves of his 10 children. Killed in an instant, when a great wind blew and the house collapsed where his 10 children were gathered. And now Job must go out and bury them. And he stands with his wife and looks at those 10 graves. We can identify with and feel the sorrow that Mary and Joseph felt. For what parent is not stricken with fear when they suddenly realize their child is not with them and not in their company, and frantically they go searching for that child, as Mary and Joseph did that day they departed from Jerusalem. And the Christ child was not in their company. And we cannot help but feel the tears well up in our eyes as we witness the reunion between a man and his brethren after 20 years of separation. For you see, it had been 20 years since Joseph had been thrown into a pit by his brethren, then sold to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. It had been 20 years since they had seen him. It had been 20 years since he had seen them and looked into the face of his father. It was the last time they saw him. The last time until now. They thought he was dead. His father Jacob thought he was dead. But now he who was lost has been found. And he whom they thought was dead was very much alive. So why would the Lord allow us to witness this reunion, this coming together of Joseph and his brethren after 20 years of being apart? Why are we permitted to stand in that room where Joseph and his brethren were reconciled once more after 20 years of being apart? The answer, I believe, as is very often the case, the answer is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Since Joseph is a wonderful type of the Savior, indeed the most wonderful of all types of Christ in the Old Testament, do we not then see here the day that we were reconciled to Him? After being apart, after being indeed all of our days apart from Christ, we think today of that wonderful hour when we were reconciled to God. When we who were afar off were made nigh by the blood of the Lamb. Or as Paul says in Colossians 1 and verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by your works, yet now hath He reconciled. And so what may we learn from this incident about that great work of reconciliation? We who were far from God, yet there was that day in our experience when we were reconciled to God, reconciled to our Heavenly Father through His Son, our Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ. I would advise you to read over this passage of Scripture and read it again and again, and take a pen and a notebook, because this passage is full of teaching. I would not have time to go through every point and every parallel thought that we have in this passage of Scripture that deals with the great work of reconciliation. This is a rich passage of Scripture indeed. Indeed, the whole life of Joseph is rich in thought and teaching. We cannot help but see Jesus Christ when we see Joseph. So let us begin. First of all, we have here Joseph and his revelation. Joseph's brethren had been in his presence now for some time. They had been sent there by their father Jacob, for they had heard that there was indeed corn in the house of Pharaoh, and they had been sent there to purchase some corn because of the famine, the drought that was in the land. They had gone to Egypt, and they had, in the providence of God, found their way into the house of Joseph. And they had been now in Joseph's presence for some time. Yet they did not know the true identity of the one who was the Lord of all Egypt. Verse 9. Joseph was the Lord of all Egypt. And yet, the sons of Jacob, as they stood in the presence of the Lord of all Egypt, they didn't know the true identity of the one that they were before. But on the other hand, Joseph, the Lord of all Egypt, knew who his brethren were. They didn't know him, but he knew them. He knew which was Benjamin. He knew which was Reuben and Simeon and Levi and Judah and all the rest. But they didn't know him. Consequently, there was a great distance between Joseph and his brethren, and his loving heart ached to bridge that gulf by revealing himself to them. He longed to reveal himself to his brethren. He longed to open their eyes to the truth of his true identity. And so, dear believer, in a higher sense, the Lord Jesus Christ, before we ever knew him, Jesus Christ knew all about us. Knew us by name. Ever since the Father gave us to him from before the foundation of the world, when he took us into covenant relationship with himself, he knew us. But we didn't know him. Not until he revealed himself to us did we know him. And here we see Joseph. And to his brethren, he first of all reveals his person. It was now time for Joseph to reveal himself to his brethren. He had seen their humility. He had witnessed their guilt. He had accepted their confession of wrongdoing. Judah had been the spokesman. Genesis 44 and verse 14, and Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground, just as Joseph said they would do 20 years before. That was the reason for their animosity and their hatred and their jealousy and their malice. They said, "We will never bow the knee to our brother Joseph." Well, here they are, 20 years later. There are those today in this world who say they will never bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, they will. That day will come. And that day, perhaps, is not too far off. And so they bow before him on the ground, and Joseph said unto them, "What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine, or bring you before judgment and trial?" Then and Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. And behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found," the cup that had been placed into the sacks of Benjamin. And Judah there laments before Joseph, and he says, "We have been found out, we're guilty." And they had fallen before the face of Joseph. Now he was ready to reveal himself to his brethren. Notice the stipulation. before Joseph revealed himself to his brethren, he made this stipulation. He said, cause every man to go out before me. And so every Egyptian left the room. And verse 1 we read, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Notice what it says, there stood no man with him, while he made himself known unto his brethren. In other words, whenever his brethren lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Joseph only. There was no one else there but Joseph. And Joseph wanted the Egyptians to leave the room because he wanted a personal meeting with his brethren. And dear child of God, likewise the hour the Lord Jesus revealed himself to us as our Savior. You remember that hour when we were awakened by the workings of the Spirit of God, and at last we saw the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And in our awakened state, we saw Jesus, and we saw Jesus only, and we had a personal meeting with Christ. Salvation is something that's personal. And for a soul to be saved, a soul must meet with Christ personally, as the brethren met with Joseph personally. And so when they looked upon Joseph, they saw Joseph stand there alone. And once again, dear child of God, the night that you and I were saved and the night that you and I were reconciled to God, it was through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. We didn't look to Jesus Christ and the church. We didn't look to Jesus Christ and our works. We didn't look to Jesus Christ and our riches. We didn't look to Jesus Christ and something else or someone else. No, we looked to Christ and we saw no man but Christ. That was something that the rich young ruler was not prepared to do. He wanted Christ and he wanted his riches too. He wanted to make Lord Jesus Christ his God, but he wanted the Lord to sit on the same throne as the rich young man's other God, his riches, to become his God. And the Lord knew that and told him to give away his riches. Give it to the poor and come, take up your cross and follow me. And he wasn't prepared to do that. He saw Christ and his riches. He needed to see Christ alone. You'll notice that this was a sudden revelation. Joseph's revelation of his person to his brethren was sudden. Look at verse 1 again. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Sudden. One moment their eyes were blind to the true identity of Joseph, and the next moment their eyes were opened and they knew him. So it was with us. Up until that moment of the new birth, up until that moment, that we were awakened from our slumbers, we were called out of the grave. Up until that moment that God breathed life into us, we were blind to Christ. We were blind to His true identity. We had heard about Him, but we had never thought of Him as being our Savior. And the moment we were regenerated by the Spirit of God, it happened in a moment. We were brought from darkness to light in a moment. We were brought from death to life in a moment. When the Lord Jesus revealed Himself to us as our Savior, it was sudden. The great work of reconciliation. We be reconciled to God was instant. You notice also it was a sobering revelation. When Joseph revealed himself to his brethren, we are told that they were troubled in his presence. Verse 3. They realized that they stood in the presence of the one that they had wronged. The one they had sold for 20 pieces of silver. Suddenly, the identity of the ruler of all Egypt was revealed to them. And there he sat, or there he stood, the brother they had rejected 20 years ago. They were in his very presence. No wonder they were troubled. Just as we were troubled. When Christ revealed Himself to us by His Spirit. And there we stood in His presence as guilty, hell-deserving sinners. Those who had rejected Him, despised Him, turned their backs upon Him for years. Those who had taken His name in vain. Those who said they would have nothing to do with Him and said, we will not have this man to rule over us. Suddenly, when our eyes were opened and we saw Jesus Christ and saw Christ only and saw Him as our Savior and His true identity, we were troubled. What happened that night? We were troubled about our sin. We realized we were sinners before a holy God. The word troubled there means amazed, or it means frightened, or it means terrified. You remember when you come under conviction, were you not terrified? Lest you would fall from your gospel seat into a lost sinner's hell. Did we not tremble in that meeting when Christ was revealed to us through the gospel message that was preached to us? Did our sins against Christ not condemn us? Did our guilt not terrify us? Did the prospect of the great white throne judgment not frighten us? When Christ was revealed to us, His true identity came home to our hearts. It was a solemn time, wasn't it? It was a solemn time when we realized our sinful state, realized Christ. We're in His presence, the very one we rejected. We're in His very presence. And that night we accepted Him as it was a solemn moment when we were brought from darkness to light. Next we see it was a simple revelation. In revealing Himself to His brethren, Joseph simply spoke three words. Strictly speaking, he only spoke two. Look at verse 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. But the word am is in italics. So really he said, I, Joseph. Simple. See how simple it was? I am Joseph. Believer, do you remember when you realized for the first time that the way of salvation was plain and it was simple? Do you remember all the arguments you put up? All the reasons that you had in your mind why you couldn't be saved, why you shouldn't be saved? Do you remember how that way of salvation, through the deception of the devil, seemed to be so complicated? And then that night you were saved. That hour you came to Christ, that moment you were reconciled to God, for the first time you realized salvation is simple. And here we see how simply Joseph and his brethren were reconciled. And when we were converted through the ministry of the gospel of Christ, our eyes were opened. And the Lord Jesus said to us, I am Jesus. Jesus means Savior. And the Lord Jesus was really saying, I am your Savior. It was all so simple. It wasn't complicated at all. Saul of Tarsus knew that as well. There on the Damascus Road, stricken by the appearance of a great light, he fell on his face to the ground and he cried out, Who art thou, Lord? And a voice from heaven said, I am Jesus. So simple. And there in the dust on the Damascus Road, a blasphemer became a believer. There on the Damascus Road, a great sinner became a great saint. And it was all so simple. I am Jesus. Praise God for that day. When we heard those words and our eyes were opened and our hearts were opened, to see Jesus and to receive Jesus as our Savior. It's the revelation of His person. Something else was revealed here in this reunion between Joseph and his brethren. There was the revelation of His passion. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. Couldn't hold back anymore. And that day Joseph revealed his passion. The passion, the love he had for his brother. They saw that love in his grief. He wept aloud. Joseph was so overcome with grief that he could not hold back the tears any longer. The emotion of those days of seeing his brethren stand before him He was just so overcome with emotion that he wept aloud. And in those tears, his brethren saw how much he loved them. Believer, do you remember the first time? Do you remember the first time you read about the tears of Christ? Do you remember that one of the first things you learned about the Bible was where to find the shortest verse in the Bible? Do you remember when you learned what that shortest verse is? Jesus wept. And you've always remembered that that's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. And you went on to learn why he wept. And where he wept. He had wept at the tomb of Lazarus. You learned something else. You learned about what the Jews said when they saw him weep. Because when they saw Jesus weep, they said, "Behold how he loved him." They associated the tears of Christ with his love for Lazarus. Oh, behold how he loved him. And we in our own hearts said, "Oh, behold how he must have loved Lazarus, his companion." And then later we read about Jesus weeping again when he stood in the Mount of Olives and cast an eye over Jerusalem. And there he wept again. And we said, "Oh, how he loved his city." And then later still, we learned about his weeping in Gethsemane's garden, offering up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. And when we saw him weep in the garden, we said, "Behold how he loved his church. How he loved his city, how he loved his companion." And we said to ourselves, if Christ was in Gethsemane's garden weeping for his church, then that must mean he had gone there to weep for me. Oh, how he loved me. How he loved me. Joseph wept over his brethren. He wept for his brethren. And Jesus Christ wept over us. And when we look at the tears of Jesus Christ, we can say nothing else but, "Behold how he loved me. That he would weep for me." And so, the brethren of Joseph saw his love for them in his grief. They saw his love for them in his grace. What a wonderful demonstration of grace is seen here. Joseph reveals his love for his brethren by his weeping over them. Was this what they deserved? Did they deserve their brother, whom they had rejected and sold and hated and despised and would have murdered? Did they deserve that brother to weep over them? not at all. Neither did we, dear Christian, deserve the tears of Christ. What we did deserve was that Christ would cast us away from His face forever. And then it would be our turn to weep, because we would be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But instead, Jesus Christ wept for us. Behold how He loved us and reconciled us to God. He revealed His person. He revealed His passion. And He revealed the plan. Notice carefully how Joseph was very particular in informing his brethren that what had happened to him had all been in the plan of God. Look at verse 5. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Look at verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. Look at verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Three times over, Joseph said to his brethren, brethren, God sent me before you. I have been sent of God. It was all in God's plan that I should be despised. It was all in God's plan that I should be cast into that pit. It was in God's plan that I should be sold for 20 pieces of silver into Egypt. It was all in God's plan. And here I am today, ruler over all Egypt. It's all in God's plan. All in God's plan that God sent me. You remember in our study of Christ's great high priestly prayer? You remember the number of times the Lord Jesus repeated the words, Thou didst send me. Six times over. Thou didst send me. Christ the sent one. Why was He sent? He was sent to carry out God's plan of salvation. And as God had sent Joseph to save his brethren, so God sent Jesus to save us. He was sent to deliver them. And He was sent to deliver them by, verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And isn't that what saved us? Wasn't it a great deliverance? A great deliverance was needed for great sinners. And God sent His Son before us, or before His face. And Jesus Christ was sent that He might deliver us. And bless the Lord, He did. You'll notice that Joseph was sent by God to deliver his brethren. His brethren were all in the plan of God. And so, believer, in the great plan of salvation, the Lord included you and me, because He sent His Son to deliver us. If Joseph and the revelation And quickly you have Joseph and the reconciliation. It had been 20 years since Joseph and his brethren parted the one from the other. That parting had been marred by malice, jealousy, envy, hatred, and murder. They wanted to murder him. But after 20 years, the time for a reconciliation had come. And we see what this reconciliation was based on. One, forgiveness. Joseph had listened as Judah acknowledged his wrongdoing and owned his guilt. Now Joseph is ready to forgive his brethren for what they had done. First of all, you have the request. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Come near unto me. You remember the night you heard those words? The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a wonderful day that was when Jesus said, come near unto me. And we came. And we came to Christ. You have the removal of their guilt. For in verse 5, look at those words of grace and mercy. Verse 5, now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves. What was Joseph doing? He was removing their guilt. He was removing their guilt. Isn't that what Christ did the hour we came to Him? He removed our guilt. When we were reconciled to God, He said, come. And we came. And He removed our sin and He removed our guilt. And notice that the middle wall now, the division, has been removed. For we read in verses 14 and 15 that Joseph fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed, mark the word, he kissed all his brethren. He didn't leave one of them out. He didn't leave out Reuben. He didn't leave out Judah, and he didn't leave out Simeon, he didn't leave out Levi. He kissed them all. All those who had planned his downfall, he embraced them all. And the Lord Jesus Christ has not only said to us, come, but he has welcomed us, he has embraced us, he has kissed us, and we are his. We've been reconciled. We're no longer in the far country. We've been brought home. You have the forgiveness and you have the fellowship. It was the next step. Look at verse 15. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren, wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. There was a time we had no interest in talking with the Lord. There was a time when we could not have spoken to God. We were so far away. 20 years had divided Joseph from his brethren. When they first learned of his true identity, remember what happened? It says they were troubled. But now their guilt has been removed. Joseph has said, come near. He has kissed them. He has expressed his love for them. And now they talk with him. They're back on speaking terms again. There's their fellowship. Thank God, through the reconciling work of Christ, we're on speaking terms with him. We can talk with him. We can fellowship with him. We can commune with him. We've been reconciled. He's forgiven us. And there was fellowship. But what about the future? We know all about the past. What about the future between Joseph and his brethren? Well, verse 6, we read that Joseph had promised to take care of his brethren in the future. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And Joseph goes on to say, I'll take care of you. Verse 10, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee. Isn't that wonderful? His brethren didn't need to worry about the future. His brethren didn't need to worry about the famine. Joseph would nourish them. Joseph would look after them. Joseph would take care of them. Joseph would supply their every need. And rejoice, believer. We know one who's greater than even Joseph. And his name is Jesus. And how glad we can face the future with Jesus looking after us. Notice Joseph knew all about the future. He said there's still another 5 years of harvest. The brethren didn't know, but Joseph knew. We don't know what the future holds, but Jesus knows. And we are in his care. And we're in his keeping. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds the future. And I know who holds my hand. We've been reconciled. God will take care of. We haven't time to look at Joseph and the report. For he told his brethren to go and tell his father. First of all, he said, haste. So, believer, we should not be slow to tell others about what Christ has done. And then there is the home. He was to go home first, or they were to go home first. That's where we begin to tell others about Christ. We begin at home first. And then the happening. They were to go and tell their father about Joseph and that he was the ruler in Egypt. And verse 13, and ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt. That's our message. We can go to our heavenly father and talk to our heavenly father about his son and about his glory. We can tell others about Christ's glory. And then there's the happiness. For in verse 16, we're told that when Pharaoh heard about it, about that Joseph's brethren are come, it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. It was happiness in the house of Joseph because he and his brethren had been reconciled. So there was happiness in heaven. There was singing in heaven. There was rejoicing in heaven when we were reconciled to God. We have a wonderful Savior. We have a wonderful Joseph. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.